chakras 6 and 7, the third eye, and the crown chakras.
Welcome, everyone. This is Margaret Lynch with MargaretMLynch.com, and this is Tapping for Money Through the Rees Method Chakras. And today's class is the final class in the series. It's on the 6th and 7th chakras. And we do those two chakras together because they're very, very closely related. Throughout this series, we've talked a lot about the chakras, and we've also talked a lot about vows. And we'll be doing the same thing in today's class. So I wanted to quickly review what is a vow and what's important about the way Rees teaches the vows that we make at each chakra, because it's a very powerful way to see what's going on, both what happened in the past and how it's working in our lives today. And then I'm going to go on and start talking about the unbelievable nature of the 6th and 7th chakras, along with the negative vows that we may have in place there. And then we'll do some tapping for both what we feel are some of the negative vows affecting all of those of us on the call today, as well as some positive tapping. So to start out, what is a vow? This is a concept that Rees Thomas teaches. He teaches it in the Energy Medicine School. And it's taught because it's a powerful way to look at the idea of fears and limiting beliefs, because we've all heard about fears and limiting beliefs, but vows are really like a super belief. And we actually have an incredible amount of willpower that we've taken around the vow. And so it's a difference between saying, I have a fear of being seen, something that happened to me, so now I have this resulting fear of being seen, versus recognizing that at some point I took a vow to never be seen, to keep myself safe. There's energy and actually willpower behind that vow. Even though it's unconscious, we will create our lives around the vow. So a vow is like a super belief because it's taken as an undeniable truth of who you are. It's something that we never even think to question because it feels like this is just the undeniable truth of who I am. And so they can come from this lifetime. For people who believe in past lives, they can come from past lifetimes. They can come from a trauma, or really any time when you were a child, that being you or being in your life purpose, even as a child, being that quality of you was either not safe or felt hopeless, or there was just no love around it. So this is what creates a negative vow. And for a child, the way it works is the child will allow that vow to come up and to create actions and behaviors that become automatic way of acting. And all of those actions and behaviors actually block, because it goes directly against our core self, it blocks that natural flow of energy. And negative vows always block both our true nature and our true life purpose. So as we become an adult, the vows are now very unconscious. They are the undeniable truth and beliefs that your life is built on from first chakra up. And it's always, no matter what the vow is, the core of it is somewhere to not be yourself or to actually reject aspects of yourself. So there's actually no free will around choosing who you are because the vow is unconscious. And what happens with the vow is that, again, we use our willpower in an unconscious way to manifest our life according to that vow. This is where people say to me, I manifest amazing things, and then in a brilliant way, I sabotage it. Unbelievable amount of sabotage, and or an unbelievable amount of procrastination, an unbelievable amount of stuckness shows up in my life, whether it's through other people or circumstances. That's the willpower that you unconsciously put down manifesting your life according to that vow. So again, the difference between saying, oh, I have a fear of being seen, and I'll say, okay, let's try tapping on, I actually refuse to ever be seen, because that's really what's going on. It's a vow with a lot of strength and willpower around it. So what does it take to overcome a negative vow that we've made unconsciously? Well, especially as we come up to this class in the sixth and seventh chakra, it takes conscious willpower, because as we're up here in the sixth and seventh chakras, we're talking about attitudes, habitual attitudes of viewing and acting and seeing life. So it actually takes your conscious willpower. All of you on this call, I know, have heard about neural pathways and the way that the brain wires itself. And so think about the fact that you've spent your lifetime developing highways in the brain, major neural pathways around habitual ways of acting and thinking. And you have actually proved to yourself over and over and over in your life that these things are true. This is how life works for me. This is completely true. See, there's more evidence. So these neural pathways, like highways in the brain, have been wired in, and it takes conscious willpower to create that shift, to say, I'm going to catch myself, and I'm going to talk a different truth. I'm going to speak a different language. I'm going to really go tap, because this is important right now for me to catch myself and to create a new way, a new attitude. So conscious willpower is required. I think specifically we notice it more in the sixth and seventh chakra discussions, because we're talking about attitudes. So to change your vow, Reese teaches that you need to have strong will and be able to focus on this. And sometimes it's our lifetime of work. And we actually don't replace the negative vow with just a positive vow, because our brains won't let you just come down with a statement like that. It's a goal. We replace it with goals, with an openness, with an allowing, with a openness to unfolding of this new way of being. So even though it takes willpower, what we're choosing with our willpower is more of an openness, more of a goal, more of an openness to things that in our heart, which is where our real truth is, we know and feel are true. He says, once you've proven in a million ways that this is true for you, then you start to live that unconsciously. Then you start to be more aligned in your life purpose. And so when we change and we open up to these new goals or positive vows, but again, they're not really vows, what you want to do is look at how you start to now prove that true to yourself. And this is where one of the powerful tricks of law of attraction and the teachings of Abraham Hicks is to note the evidence. Note the evidence in your life of the unfolding, of miracles, of things happening to you. Noting that evidence is a way of convincing yourself of the evidence that the unfolding is true, that miracles are happening, that I manifest my life. When we look at the sixth chakra, we're actually talking about what people call the third eye. So it's in the center of the forehead. It's called the center of psychic sight. So a lot of people attribute psychics to being all six chakra, but they don't actually have to be. You can be incredibly psychic at your second chakra and really feel what's going on with people. So sixth chakra is where we get spiritual guidance flashes into absolute awareness. And so Reese says, to gaze upon an open sixth chakra is to see the flash of intuition like a twinkling star in the night sky, which is so beautiful. It brings clarity and meaning to life in your place in it. So the sixth chakra is like the 20,000 feet view from above, like an eagle. When it is open, it's like a beautiful lens that light is coming through. So what happens at the sixth chakra, although these are our higher chakras and often people attribute a lot of spirituality to our higher chakras, our sixth and seventh chakra, it's actually a slave, as Rees teaches. It's actually still just a slave to the wounding and the negative vows at the lower chakras, or he calls it the mouthpieces of the wounds of the lower chakras. So as we think about the sixth chakra, which is seeing, I manifest my reality. It's the belief I manifest my reality, and it's seeing your unique nature and how your unique nature fits in the world, impacts the world. You see from this very high perspective how important your contribution to the world truly is. That's the open sixth chakra. So I want you to imagine you're looking through this beautiful, beautiful lens. That light is pouring through. And through that light, you can look out onto the most beautiful, beautiful scene in nature. And now imagine that in your first chakra, you had a foundational belief from your experiences that the world is not safe. And so that means maybe up in your third chakra, where you're supposed to see how unique and unbelievable you are, your uniqueness, your individuality, you actually made a vow that you're not that special. And maybe to stay invisible. So what happens to that beautiful lens of the sixth chakra is I want you to imagine you took a black magic marker and now you just color off three or four big squares in the middle of that beautiful lens. So there are big black areas that you cannot see through, because what's on the other side of that, you've made a vow to completely not see. So again, third chakra is where you see your individual, your uniqueness. And sixth chakra would show you how that unbelievable uniqueness is an amazing contribution that the world needs, and you've made this vow to say, blacken that out, not gonna see it. I refuse, I do not wanna see that. And so the negative vow at the sixth chakra, basically, is the vow to filter the world through my fears, through my wounds. So now I want you to imagine that you've got this lens and some areas are blacked out. And somewhere in your life, maybe first or second chakra or third chakra, you made some kind of vow that your worthiness in this world, how much you're worth, how valuable you are, how you deserve to be treated, that you were going to battle about that. That there's people who are going to battle you, that you're going to be in a fight with, who will try to tell you you're absolutely worthless and it's going to knock you down, and then you're going to rail against it and you're going to battle it, and then you're going to be depressed because they won, and then you're going to overcome and go back again. So there's a vow to do battle, to fight, or to prove your worthiness. So I want you to imagine that you now take a big scoop of Vaseline, which is oily substance if you're not from the U.S., like oil, thick petroleum jelly, and you take several more sections of that big, beautiful lens, and you rub this Vaseline on it. So you can still see through, but everything looks distorted. So I'm going to see through my sixth chakra, but everything's going to look distorted to me so that it will agree with this programming. We still can see through our sixth chakra. We still have one there. But we've made these vows based on our lower chakras, because of our wounds, our real traumas, that we are actually only going to see through it in a very limited way. There's areas that we're going to completely black out. We're just not going to see that. And there's areas that we're going to see, but through this distorted, filtered lens that makes everything look kind of strange. So it seems like we're seeing what everyone else is seeing, but we're actually seeing it in a way that agrees with our programming. Now I want you to imagine the Windex comes out, the glass cleaner, and you clean your whole lens again. So we're back to this beautiful sigh of relief. Beautiful sixth chakra. And I want you to imagine what it would be like if that could be totally clear. The 20,000 feet view where you could rise up like an eagle and see yourself and see those unique talents and skills and support and see how it radiates out and see that you totally fit in this world and how important you are. And then use that amazing sixth chakra to go all the way up into space, where now you're looking at the Earth. And in your imagination, you can travel right out into space, right, and see the entire Earth. Oh, my God, I can see the whole Earth. It's humongous with my sixth chakra. And I can go even further out, and I can see the whole universe. Wow, look at the whole solar system. My sixth chakra is unbelievable. And I could still zoom in and just see me right on the Earth. And I could even zoom out more. And I could see galaxies. So I want you to think about that. Even with this unbelievable, clear sixth chakra in your ability, are you seeing what the divine sees? Is that unbelievable view, universes, galaxies, anything your imagination could fill? Are you even close to what the divine sees? All that is unmanifested, all that is potential, all that is manifested, all that will be manifested. Can you see even close to what the divine sees? I don't think we can. And so here's another important part of the sixth chakra. You are still only seeing a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of what is possible. All the rest of it is off your radar. And so the sixth chakra says seeing the world as unlimited. My ability to manifest is unlimited. My ability to contribute and to be needed by the world and to have support is unlimited. And I'm only seeing a tiny percentage of that on my particular sixth chakra radar. Everything else is off the radar. That's why it's unlimited. So you're seeing a tiny postage stamp on Earth with your sixth chakra compared to the divine. And this is the other part of it, is seeing the world as unlimited allows us to look at everything that we're seeing with our sixth chakra as a new, fresh, unfolding miracle. And at the same time recognizing there is so much more that I can't even see. And I have no idea. But it is there, and it is on its way, and I can call that to myself. Very, very cool, the sixth chakra. Okay, moving on to the seventh chakra. I'm going to talk about the seventh chakra too, and then we're going to I'm going to start to take comments, and we're going to do some tapping because they are pretty related. And so, seventh chakra is the top of the head. It's the crown of the head. It represents our connection to infinite wisdom and possibility. It brings the meaning and the purpose into our lives, and it has to be open for your heart to be open. So a closed seventh chakra always brings limitation and pessimism. It's people who are very pessimistic. Okay, so when it's open, it's that conscious awareness, as much as we can be without our minds exploding, of the infinite system of abundance that we're just embedded in. imagination and mystery and the ability to give meaning to the infinite are gifts of the seventh chakra. So in the seventh chakra, your imagination and your consciousness and your genius live, as Reese teaches, he says, live hand in hand in the brilliance of that aspect of our minds. And we're open to infinite possibility and thought. And so I love his quote. He says, to see your seventh chakra, imagine that your brilliance is sunlight dancing on the ocean's endless horizon. That is your seventh chakra. It's how your brilliance comes into connection hand in hand with infinite possibility. So again, you hear in both of these, we're talking a lot about attitude. So negative vows at the seventh chakra are around the divine or God, or believing, absolutely believing in limitation. So the negative vows sound like, I believe in limitation. So first chakra, there was limitation and scarcity. Second chakra, I was limited. People like me are limited. Another negative vow, I don't trust God, or God who has an infinite amount of support that God or the divine or whatever word you want to use gives is actually limited in my particular life, right? And so this is when I say it, I realized how funny it is because it's profound. We actually live it. But when we say it out loud, it's kind of funny that in the infinite amount of support and resources that the divine has in my particular life, it's limited. So it's everything around that connection to infinite possibility or to spirit, to God, to the divine is somehow limited. So the positive, the opening at the sixth chakra is really seeing how the divine works through you, through your quality, seeing events as divine, seeing that divinity is part of you, part of your life unfolding all the time. It's the openness to allow divinity and to have everything you live, you see, you know, to see that as infinitely possible, that there's never been anything that isn't infinitely possible. And it's infinitely possible in every moment. So a lot of connection there between the sixth and seventh chakra. So the positive tapping that we're going to be doing on the sixth chakra is around, again, seeing the world as it is. Not as I am with my limitations. Seeing the world as brand new, infinitely possible, and seeing myself in that, seeing my place in that, and recognizing that there's miracles unfolding that are way off the radar for me. That's what unlimited means, is that I can't see it, but it's on its way. In seventh chakra, everything I live, I see, I know is infinitely possible that I allow the divine to co-create with me. Okay, so I'm going to allow you guys to unmute. If anyone wants to start to give me some feedback on that, I know that a lot of what I've said is going to trigger people, so it's great to take notes on some of the things that I said that may have triggered you, because we may or may not get to that particular type of tapping today, but this is really important for you to know because this is the attitude that you walk around with and it absolutely affects the ability to manifest. And while you guys are thinking about what you want to say and getting ready to hit star 7 to talk, I want you to think about one other thing. I started to think about this and I was like, wow, how many people do you actually know that are in your life, in your group, in your connection that really believe that we manifest our reality, that have lived this truth, that have seen enough evidence in their life that they congruently believe they manifest their reality because they've lived it, they've breathed it, they've felt it. Even if it's just first chakra, hey, I get stuff done and I've manifested real things in my life by where I've directed my energy. How many people really believe that beyond immediate into, I really manifest my life. What I focus on miraculously in an unexpected way, and I'll never be able to figure it out, I will be able to manifest. And in that moment, I recognized why the mastermind groups have been created in the world, because you connect with other people who really are trying to live that truth and reinforce each other to believe it. So it was like I finally understood the power of mastermind groups. So if you'd like to give me some feedback, please press *7 and you will be able to unmute. And I'm curious to what some of these vows you feel that you have taken. And so we can start with some of the 6th chakra vows or the 7th chakra vows, but the vows to see our world through our fears and in a limited way.
Hi, Margaret. This is Greg.
Hi, Greg.
When you were talking about wiping the lens clean again, taking off the black mark and taking off the Vaseline and everything, my experience of that moment was that it is unbearably beautiful and too beautiful to take in. I felt myself opening back up to the original vulnerabilities.
So we've talked about, you have a very strong creative idealist, so this is huge for you.
Yeah.
Right? You are totally 6th, 7th chakra guy. But if it doesn't feel safe to be in your body and experiencing that, like you can't ground while you're doing it.
Yeah, and it makes me think, I have a belief, I guess, that goes, love is pain.
Yeah.
Opening up to beauty is just opening up to being torn apart.
What's in that belief? What's the torn apart mean? What happens next? Is it someone takes it away? Is it it's short-lived? Is it the other shoe drops?
Maybe it's the other shoe drops. Maybe...
Is it I can't bear the separation from that beauty? When it's time to come back to my world.
That sounds right. I mean, certainly I go on retreats, and it's beautiful, and then you come back home, and it's all concrete and cars and horror, and it just feels, I wish I hadn't gone on a retreat. I mean, to open up is just to let in all the garbage as well, let in, it's experiencing everybody else's pain too,
Yeah. And so this is going to be very similar to anyone who is an emotional intelligence specialist as well, which is the pain of coming back down to a world that seems unconscious and hurtful and dark. So beautiful, I want to live there forever. So for an emotional intelligence specialist, that might be just the beauty of love or in their heart. They could find that in a painting or in a beautiful child. So it'll be a similar thing of, I have to come back down to this kind of scary, mean world.
It sounds like it's the it's having to suffer the lower chakras.
Yeah.
The beauty and wonder is all in the upper chakras, and then we get dragged back down into the decay and the agony and everything.
Yeah, so again, for a creative idealist and for all of us, because creative idealists, your wounding is really first chakra, right? It's like this world is a dangerous place. The lower chakras, the lower self is a horrific, dangerous place. But all of us have that first chakra wounding around it's not safe. So whether it's triggered by money or by success or by anything in our life, there is that first chakra programming, literally the nervous system that says the world isn't safe. And so at the 6th chakra, you are allowing yourself to feel that 7th chakra beautiful light comes in, and then when it hits your sixth chakra, you go, but oh my God. There's also an infinite number of ways that there could be darkness. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, and so the seventh chakra means there's divinity in everything. So I only want to see divinity in the light. There's no divinity in the dark. Not saying this is easy stuff.
Yeah, it suggests to me there you have to find the divinity in pollution, and you have to find the divinity in war and murder. And
yeah, so go to what you think of as God or the divine for you, right? How does this fit with that vision? Is the divine or God or whatever you call that spiritual being or the source energy? Because somehow that is even being seen with a limited view. Divine actually makes mistakes. Or the divine actually gives some people pleasure in life and other people punishment. Okay. So often this kind of work is going to bring you back to lower chakra stuff to clear, right, which we can't go back and do in this class, but it's to see how that stuff comes up and even affects your connection to the divine.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you for that feedback. Anybody else resonate with some of what Greg's saying? And we'll do some tapping around this.
It's Mike. One of the things that came up for me was just this basic theme, and it's kind of embarrassing to say it, but it's like there's no God, and if there is a God, he doesn't really care about me or she. So, you know, and then another piece of that came up with the sixth chakra was that I have to prove my worthiness. That really resonated. You know, I've got to get out there and do battle and prove it, you know, prove that I'm worthy to even be here.
Yeah. So that's where we took the Vaseline and we said, instead of just seeing my unbelievable uniqueness and how that is totally needed by the world, I'm going to see that through a distorted picture that says I'm not really sure.
Got to get a chisel out to clear off the Vaseline.
Right. Right. And that's why I came up with that visualization, because this is really a lens through which you're seeing the world, and it affects your attitudes. But remember that we are absolutely manifesting unconsciously from that lens.
Right, right.
So we will manifest the battle about our worthiness. We will manifest the people and circumstances who will absolutely show us the dark side.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm getting that. I mean, yeah.
So the seventh chakra is, again, seeing the divinity in everything and seeing divinity as me, that me and the divine are the same, right? Whereas you're saying, you know, definitely not. If there is a God, he doesn't care about me.
Exactly. And kind of this anger, like, you know, F you. It's like, you know, if there is a God, it's like, you know, he doesn't care about me. I mean, there's that animosity coming up.
Yeah, so perfect. So tapping for you to do around, we are even in battle with the divine. So here's law of attraction, right? Saying, oh, I allow the divine to co-create with me. And unconscious, we're like, right up until when I have to beat the divine up.
Oh.
Right? So, yeah, I'll work alongside the divine right until he switches sides and suddenly I'll take him down.
Right, right.
I will trust and allow the divine to co-create with me until I see him doing something wrong. And it doesn't meet to my satisfaction in my time frame.
Exactly. So the divine, oh, he wants somebody to beat up. Okay, well, let's get him a fight. Let's get him a battle to go into.
And so when things come up in our life, the attitude of, it seems like I just got fired, but oh my God, something amazing is happening here. A miracle is coming to me.
Yeah.
That's the attitude. And when you listen to real advanced teachers of the law of attraction, this is what you'll hear them saying. is, wow, I got a flat tire. This is something unbelievable coming. I wonder what's going to happen with this. Okay. So any more feedback? And then I'll do some tapping around these two issues that we just came up with. Okay, so Mike, you are, let's see, Mike, you are unmuted, so you can leave yourself unmuted and be my echo. Okay, so we're going to do some general tapping around the sixth and seventh chakra vows. And in a class like this, again, it's going to be great for you to take notes on what is really triggering you when we say these words, the vow to see the world through my limitations and through my fears. Okay, so we'll start on actually the karate chop point. Okay, and Mike, you all set to be my echo?
I'm here.
Okay. Even though I have this amazing sixth chakra.
This amazing sixth chakra.
This beautiful lens. I've made vows. To darken it. Obscure it. And filter it. Through my wounds. Through my fears. I'm just gonna honor that. I've never seen this before. This is new to me. So I'm just gonna honor it. Even though my sixth chakra is unbelievably beautiful. I've been filtering it my whole life. I can't help it. I've made a vow. To see the world. In a limited way. To see the divine as limited. To see my ability to manifest. As limited. Wow. I'm just going to honor that now. And I'm open to healing it. Okay, and tapping through the points. This vow to limit my view. To see the world. As dangerous. As dark. As scarce. To see the darkness as winning. To see people being victimized. To see fear. In aggression. I made a vow to filter. Infinite possibility. And see it through my fears. Which means I'm seeing the world. As more like me. Than as it truly is. I totally honor these vows. I honor the millions of times. These vows have been proven true. Absolutely true for me. The millions of times. They've been reinforced. And I've said, yep, I was right. I'm just going to honor that. I'm now using my sixth chakra. To go up to 20,000 feet.
To go up to 20,000 feet.
And look at myself.
And look at myself.
I've been doing the best I know how.
I've been doing the best I know how.
I'm open to forgiving myself.
I'm open to forgiving myself.
For filtering the world.
For filtering the world.
Filtering infinite possibility.
Filtering infinite possibility.
Through these old wounds.
Through these old wounds.
That I accepted as truth.
That I accepted as truth.
Through my real fears.
Through my real fears.
That I believed are real.
That I believed are real.
I'm looking down on myself.
I'm looking down on myself.
And boy, have I tried my best.
Boy, have I tried my best.
And I'm still learning.
And I'm still learning.
And growing.
And growing.
I'm open to forgiving myself.
I'm open to forgiving myself.
And clearing away.
And clearing away.
Some of this muck on my lens.
Some of this muck on my lens.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. As we always do after a round of tapping, it's a nice way to clear out some of the energy. And so I often find that when we see something as profound as this, we need to go quickly to forgiveness and honoring it and accepting it. That's the first step. Because if we go right to, oh my God, I'm doing this wrong too, we're again going right through that negative filter to see myself as doing everything wrong. Whereas forgiveness says, there's a divinity in me that's always growing and changing, and I'm just going to honor that. I'm doing my best. From that place, whenever we own where we are, we have access to unbelievable growth. The second we say, I should have figured this out a long time ago, I should be way over there next to Deepak Chopra, it's really difficult to make any change because you're saying, I do not accept myself. Okay, so seeing something profound like this, we want to go really quickly to, I'm just going to honor it and forgive myself. I've been doing the best I knew how. And so how did that feel? Any feedback on that? And you can star 7 to give feedback. We didn't go real specifically into some of these battles or fights, but we just talked about the vow. So I'm curious on how that went for people. We're handling it in a 20,000-foot way.
It made me very tired.
Okay. Hey, that means you're in your body. Nice. When you feel tired, that's what I hear is, I just realized I have a body again. Okay? Because when you're not in there, you could probably go for 3 days without food or water and not realize it, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Margaret?
Yes.
Hey, it's Debbie.
Yep.
I feel better than I did with my old thought, like since I tapped through that. With my old memory of church and stuff, I was going to ask you while I go, but I couldn't unmute the thoughts of the church and how it affected my views of, like, I didn't want any part of it, you know, because it didn't make sense. So that was the only, that was the divine, and that wasn't on my side. So anyway, but I feel better since I tapped. I'm not as attached to it as, or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. And so I actually want to do, that's great that you said that, because I do want to do a round now, because we haven't done a positive round yet, but I want to do a round that gets more to the 7th chakra, because a couple people have brought this up already, which is not trusting God or the divine. And so I might mix in the word God or divine, and I hope that's okay with everybody, because a lot of us have been raised with the word God. And so use the word that makes sense for you. Here in the U.S., a lot of different religions will use the word God. So use the word that's right for you. For you, Debbie, when you think about the religious training that you have and you think about God or the divine, is it I don't trust or that he's,
well,
you know, kind of mean?
I have this very vivid memory of being in the church and sitting there as a little kid, but it just really made no sense to me to see that, you know, this nice minister was saying, you know, God is here for love, but he killed, you know, Jesus up there on this cross. And so I thought, I have totally got to, like, not be that. I've got to hide from that because if he's going to come get me. So I guess it's kind of that whole thing, not trusting or just really totally, I think I may, you know, had a vow that I didn't want any part of that, or I had to hide from that or something.
Yes.
Like that, maybe. Mm-hmm.
And so most religions that we encounter, organized religion with a lot of doctrine, are going to be what we call, what Reese calls, first chakra religions. And if you've read Deepak Chopra's How to Know God, he talks about spirituality at the first level. And so most religions are literally at the first level of spirituality, which is laws and punishment and loyalty. And if you're not doing what the rules say, just like the family rules, no different than the dad in the family, you're going to get clobbered. And if you are doing the right thing, which often just means attending the services, doing certain prayers, having certain sacraments, acting and speaking a certain way, whether that's your truth or not, if you do the right things, there'll be some kind of a reward system.
Yeah.
And so it's not actually spirituality. It's a level of first chakra, or as Deepak Chopra teaches it, first level, living at spirituality at the first level, right? Which is, God is sort of like an angry dad, right? Don't bother him after work.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to do some tapping around this issue with God and the divine. So karate chop point again. Even though I made this seventh chakra vow. To see limitation even in the divine.
To see limitation even in the divine.
To see God as not trustworthy.
To see God as not trustworthy.
Certainly not part of me.
Certainly not part of me.
In my life.
In my life.
I'm not that sure I want to open my seventh chakra.
I'm not sure I want to open my seventh chakra.
With this view of God.
With this view of God.
With this view of the divine.
With this view of the divine.
I'm just going to honor.
I'm just going to honor.
That this seventh chakra view.
That this seventh chakra view.
Comes all the way from my first and second chakra wounds.
Comes all the way from my first and second chakra wounds.
I was a little kid.
I was a little kid.
Just going to honor that too.
I'm just going to honor that too.
Even though I have this vow in my seventh chakra.
Even though I have this vow in my seventh chakra.
To not trust the divine.
To not trust the divine.
To believe and see evidence.
To believe and see evidence.
Of limitation.
Of limitation.
Of unfairness.
Of unfairness.
That the divine is not part of me.
That the divine is not part of me.
I totally honor this vow.
I totally honor this vow.
And how it closes down my seventh chakra.
And how it closes down my seventh chakra.
I'm not sure I want to allow in.
I'm not sure I want to allow in.
Something I do not trust.
Something I do not trust.
Something that could be dangerous.
Something that could be dangerous.
Or something that's always been.
Or something that's always been.
Something I have to give my power to.
Something I've got to give my power to.
An entity who wants me to be powerless.
An entity that wants me to be powerless.
Or else.
Or else.
I'm just going to honor this vow.
I'm just going to honor this vow.
Tapping through the points. It's hard to believe in miracles.
It's hard to believe in miracles.
Because those come from the divine.
Those come from the divine.
I don't really see the divine as part of me.
I don't really see the divine as part of me.
Part of my life.
Part of my life.
I feel sadness about God.
I feel sadness about God.
I feel unfairness and battle about God.
I feel unfairness and battle about God.
I see all the limitations.
I see all the limitations.
That are real.
That are real.
Income limitations.
Income limitations.
The way people are limited.
The way people are limited.
By their race.
By their race.
Religion.
Religion.
Their class.
Their class.
What kind of divine would allow that?
What kind of divine would allow that?
This battle with God.
This battle with God.
This seventh chakra mistrust.
This seventh chakra mistrust.
And all the evidence I've seen.
And all the evidence I've seen.
That supports limitation.
That supports limitation.
And my seventh chakra.
And my seventh chakra.
I often say. That I love the idea of infinite possibility.
That I love the idea of infinite possibility.
But what I really mean.
What I really mean.
Is that for me.
Is that for me.
It's limited.
It's limited.
The infinite possibilities that exist.
The infinite possibilities that exist.
The infinite support that the divine gives.
The infinite support that the divine gives.
Is actually limited in my life.
Is actually limited in my life.
Because that's what I see in my first and second chakra.
Because that's what I see in my first and second chakra.
And that started when I was really little.
And that started when I was really little.
I kind of didn't have a chance with this one.
I kind of didn't have a chance with this one.
So I'm just going to honor it.
So I'm just going to honor it.
And forgive myself.
And forgive myself.
I'm doing the best I know how.
I'm doing the best I know how.
My first chakra.
My first chakra.
Really creates my sixth and seventh.
Really creates my sixth and seventh.
Just going to honor that.
I'm just going to honor that.
There's no way I could have figured all this out.
There's no way I could have figured all this out.
But I'm open to being conscious about it.
But I'm open to being conscious about it.
So I can start the shift.
So I can start the shift.
Okay, take a nice deep breath. And so when we talked about the sixth and seventh chakra, and we went out way out in space, and we saw the universe and the earth and then the universe and then the galaxy, and then I said, are we still even close to what the divine sees? Oh, my God, what I see is a postage stamp compared to what's possible, what's unmanifest, and what's already manifest and on its way. And so in order to be open to the divine co-creating, which we all love the sound of, in miracles showing up and going, oh, my God, it's like a miracle showed up. In order to be open to that, we have to be open to a divine that is unlimited, that loves us in an unlimited way, that's supporting us in an unlimited way. And again, if first and second chakra say that is not true, did we even have a chance? Right? A lot of our religious training came really young, and a lot of our training in what's acceptable in this world and how real scarcity is started really, really young. Okay, so any feedback on how that round felt, and then we'll move on to a positive round.
Margaret, I'll chime in just to say it felt good. After we were done with it, it just felt like I just wanted to make some like squealing, yelling noises. And I don't know where that's coming from, but there you have it.
Nice. And so this is a really important one, as I mentioned before, too, for the other reason of that you're going to be hard-pressed to find people maybe in your life right now, and this is an openness that we can open to, that really carry this energy well, that really carry this belief well. You know, my business coach, Pamela Bruner, who I totally love, I can carry this energy for my clients. But when it comes to my particular business, I think, that's impossible. How could that ever happen? Right? Because it's me and my business and what I want to do. And my stuff right. comes up. Right? And so she carries that for me. Because as my business coach, and who knows what it's like in her business, but this is her healing that she gives. Right? We're able to carry this sometimes very congruently for other people. When she works with me and we work on goals and things that I want to do in my business, she 100% congruently believes and has masses of evidence to support that belief in her body that absolutely I will manifest my reality. And so part of what we do with other people is mechanical. We do tapping and we might, you know, like business coaches give you things to execute on. But what's going on underneath the healing that she gives me, and I tell her this and she's like, uh-huh, that's weird, Margaret, is she holds that channel for me because she 100% congruently believes it. And I can borrow some of that. So when I'm working with clients, I can hold that channel for them and 100% see them and congruently believe it. But I'm human. When it comes to my life, I'm working on it.
Right.
And part of accepting and forgiving ourselves is recognizing, I haven't actually even had a lot of support in this. And so as we start to change some of these attitudes, one of the first things that gets attracted to that new vibration, we're going to do some tapping for a new vibration about this, are other ideas in people that resonate with it. And so as you work with some of this stuff, notice the kind of people that start showing up in your life. Or notice if you feel attracted to something like a discussion or a mastermind type of group where the people there are trying to work law of attraction or do something in business and they're keeping each other congruent at this level, because again, takes some willpower, some conscious willpower to retrain these old ways. So in this class, it's about really becoming conscious of these things, writing down what you might have to do more tapping on, and then we'll do the positive round that you can do again and again to keep reforming this new idea. Okay, any feedback on that part of it?
I love that positive use of willpower. I love that.
Yeah, that's the one way we use it in a good way. Yes. Someone else chimed in?
Margaret, this is Sue.
Hi.
Hi. What is coming up for me is a lot of sadness, and then underneath the sadness is a lot of angry blame for all the people who gave me the notions, you know, who carried the whole Catholic message of conformity and, you know, sit straight in your pew or you'll be pinched and things like that. And that I'm trying to find when this separation occurred, because I remember being a part of God, but I don't remember when I first wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you may have made the vow around those traumas to sort of battle that, to prove them wrong, right? Or to never be like them. If they represent divinity and God and closeness with God, oh my Lord, I never want to be like that. So this is pointing you to some real trauma to tap on. You want to really voice what's coming up for you in the second chakra, because the voicing of that anger, that blame, that ranting and raving and hateful, even sounding hateful energy that you would probably voice if you really tuned in to those teachers, That is the tremendous amount of energy that's going to come up and actually turn in your core into this beautiful spiritual energy. As dark as it might sound when you're tapping on it, that's what you're seeing is how it feels for you to be separated in your mind, to have the belief, that's the pain of the belief, that I'm separated from the divine.
Okay, yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so really this triggering something for you to tap on a lot, and I always say you want to voice it in an angry, hateful, spewing venom way while you're tapping on it.
Yeah.
And it's going to give you the best clearing. It'll give you the best access to a forgiveness when you voice it that way. After you do that tapping, you want to take a look at those people again. You don't have access to it now, and recognize that they were living in that first chakra world around fear, that their version of religion was rules and handing their power over to whoever was in charge of the church. That becomes God. So every one of those little teachers that you had, and for me it was nuns, were basically as spiritual as they should be, were basically first chakra, right? Handing all their power over to a set of rules and to somebody who, he's the representative of God, so what he says goes, even if it's, and we all know what's gone on in the Catholic Church. Okay. So more tapping to do there. Any other feedback on some of that before we do a nice positive round?
Hey, Margaret. I've been trying to do a lot of lately, like bringing in like a lot of spiritual energy from the fifth dimension, and I'm just now trying to understand that concept. But as I do that, it's been helping me like see a bigger picture, like you're saying, that it's like it's more possibility than. But I feel like I've been living in so much hatred and so about that, like on some level, like just that angry, like, so I guess that part about the divine can help you lighten up and bring joy in more so, I guess. I hope so anyway, because I can see how I've been living that way a lot of times in my life. When I give up my joy again, my happiness, or give my power away, I go back into that anger, and so it's like I think it has a lot to do with that, like not trusting God and then bring it, you know, having that. And so I guess by bringing that in, that joyful, that bigger picture of what you're talking about will cause us to kind of help lighten that up or something.
You know, tapping is an amazing tool for the lower self stuff. And so if you've never tapped through some of those stories where if you feel like it's deep black hatred, I absolutely would. Because if we try to say, I'm going to try to be more spiritual, we kind of separate ourselves. You know, you'll get an energy healing and the healer will say, it's like you're in two halves, right? They'll say your lower half is separated from your upper half. So we're trying to go up to divinity and say, I'm going to use spirituality or meditation to clear that. But we're forgetting
that. I feel like I've lived that, though, a lot where I did do that. And so I've, like, been on the hate stuff, like, working on it in there a lot. But I've been missing the other part, the 6, 7. And so it's bringing me some of that to kind of balance it, I guess. Because I used to live like this. Yeah.
When we start to realize that the divine is within us, we never give our power away again, even to the divine.
Yeah.
Right? Does the divine really want us to completely give all our power?
I know.
That's the other side of the seventh chakra vows. The other side of is to never trust God. It's the people who say, I give everything to God. Everything to God. Right? That's just no.
Right.
Everything is going to be handled by God. They give all their power.
Yeah.
Right? And so we stop giving our power away to anyone, to any teacher.
Yeah.
Right? I'm leading this class, and so I'm the teacher here. But I'm exactly like everybody else on this call because I am living it and working through it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I work with people, I'm at a certain point, you know, they'll often say, oh, you know, Margaret, you know, they'll say wonderful things to me. And I love the wonderful things people say. But we get to a certain point in the work where I will not let them give their power to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so nobody in your life gets your power. And when we stop doing that, it's when we recognize the divinity is part of you. And that again, the third chakra, which is where we recognize how unbelievably special and unique we are, and the sixth chakra, we look at that and we say, oh my God, I see how that fits in the world and how valuable that is and how much the world needs that, how important I am in the world. We're done giving our power away to anybody because nobody has your life purpose.
Right.
Okay, so this is what's interesting about religion and the sixth chakra, is allowing the divine as opposed to seeing this thing that you have to give your power away to or that will try to take your power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I know that that's going to trigger people, just that discussion alone. And there's people who really do want to give their, you know, they want to find a guru. They're like serial gurus, guruism. They'll go from guru to guru. And at some point, when you put somebody way up on a pedestal, you're going to have to take them down at some point and go, oh, my God, I thought this person was going to be my guru. And then they did this and they did that. And now I'm totally disappointed in them. And now I move on to the next guru. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, like, oh, you put me up on a pedestal, you know, sooner or later that person's gonna have to take you down.
Yeah.
Right. So this even comes up when it comes to the divine and into the seventh chakra. Mm-hmm. So good. So thank you very much for that feedback, and definitely some more tapping to do there, because as you do that lower self hate tapping, that will bring you to a much higher spiritual place, believe it or not, because you go into your core, you'll go into your heart, and when that's voiced and tapped and honored, that's when you have access to the most unbelievable forgiveness.
Right.
Okay.
I've been working on it for years, so I feel hate for all my life.
And
then when
so,
I get that, you know.
And so here's
and
what I would...
And all spiritual healings with that. So I have been forgetting the other part. Yeah.
So I want you to think about some of those healers and some of the work that you've done, and if you've given your power to those people and still felt powerless afterward. Because what I would say about that is, everybody on this call, when you've experienced that level of pain, of trauma, of hate, when you forgive, oh my God, is there an unbelievable difference between when you forgive, having known deep hurt and deep hate and deep darkness in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So we really, really can have access to forgiveness when we've known the other side. Right? When you forgive and you come into love, it's unbelievable. So that means your ability, when you can access forgiveness as a healer or whatever you do, will be an unbelievable light to people. Because of the fact, right? So some of us have never had anything that horrific. You know, some people's lives, for some reason, they've come in with horrific, horrific, horrific childhood trauma, right? There's something different about the intensity of what they experienced, and when they can overcome that, boy, do they understand a forgiveness in a way that I will never understand or have access to. Okay, so we'll do a positive round on sixth and seventh chakra. Okay, you still with me there, Mike?
Yep, still here.
Thank you so much for being my echo.
No problem.
Okay, so the positive opening that we want to have it at the sixth and seventh chakra, our sixth chakra, it's really about seeing the world, and this is what Reese teaches, which is so cool, as brand new and fresh in every single moment, that there's miracles unfolding that are so far off your radar that the only way that you could feel about them is curious. That's why curiosity about what's going to happen is a great energy. So that the world is brand new, is fresh, it's unfolding, and there's miracles unfolding in every minute. Even when they don't look like a miracle, somewhere off the radar, it's a miracle. You just haven't seen it all come together yet. Okay, so when we look at the sixth chakra and we go up 20,000 feet, we could go, oh, now that I see 20,000 feet, I'm seeing that all these things are coming together. And there's things off my radar that are manifesting. How can I see something that hasn't even been manifested yet? In the seventh chakra, it's opening to see that everything is infinitely possible in every moment, and to see the divinity in everything and everyone. Okay, so when you see the divinity in yourself, it allows you to see the divinity in everything and everyone. So this is very, very different than the attitude of, well, that stinks. That's not how I wanted that to go. So this is how this is an attitude. So we look at something that happens and we go, huh, it's not quite what I was thinking, but it's going to be fine. Something amazing is going to happen here. Versus labeling things, as we do in the sixth chakra, as disappointing or a failure or limitation. I'm seeing limitation. So for me personally, I've been excited about things that I was sure was going to happen that never ended up happening, ever. Totally thought this person contacted me, it's going to be amazing, this is going to make my business or whatever it is, this is going to be this opportunity, and it never happened. Nothing came of it. And I would have never guessed that if I went back in time. But as it unfolded, I was able to keep this openness that I want this or something better. This or something better. It's all going to work out. If it's not meant to be, I don't want it to happen. And something amazing would be continually manifest. And often I didn't even realize that it didn't happen until I looked at old notes or I looked back and I thought, oh my God, I thought that was going to be the thing. And it never even happened. That guy never called me back. Okay. But I could have gotten stuck there. And these are things that could have seemed like they were going to be like, oh my God, this could like change my whole life. And if it didn't happen the way I wanted it to, I could have gotten really, really stuck and gone into battle and got depressed and focused on it. And those are the kind of things that I tap on, letting it go. Infinite possibility, baby. Okay, so this has worked for me in an unbelievable way, because there is no logical explanation for how my particular career has unfolded. The things that have come in that have happened to support me have been absolutely miraculous. And even within that, as I said, there was 10 other things that seemed miraculous that never actually happened or went anywhere. Okay, so karate chop point, even though I have all these vows, in my sixth chakra.
In my sixth chakra.
To filter the world through my fears.
To filter my world through my fears.
I forgive myself for that.
I forgive myself for that.
Even though I have all these vows in my seventh chakra.
Even though I have all these vows in my seventh chakra.
About limitation.
About limitation.
Even when it comes to the divine.
Even when it comes to the divine.
I'm going to forgive myself for that.
I'm going to forgive myself for that.
So I can be open to a whole new unfolding.
So I can be open to a whole new unfolding.
Okay, and tapping right through the points, I'm open to seeing the world.
I'm open to seeing the world.
As brand new.
Brand new.
And fresh.
And fresh.
In every moment.
In every moment.
Which is how it really is.
Is how it really is.
The same things never happen twice.
The same things never happen twice.
I'm open to seeing miracles unfolding.
I'm open to seeing miracles unfolding.
Knowing they come from far off my radar.
Knowing they come from far off my radar.
Unfolding in every moment.
Unfolding in every moment.
I'm open to seeing the divinity.
I'm open to seeing the divinity.
in every person and every event.
In every person and every event.
I'm open to seeing the divinity.
I'm open to seeing the divinity.
In every so-called mistake.
In every so-called mistake.
That I have made.
That I have made.
That others have made.
That others have made.
I'm open to seeing infinite possibility.
I'm open to seeing infinite possibility.
Wide and expansive.
Wide and expansive.
In every moment.
Every moment.
Miracles are lining up to support me.
Miracles are lining up to support me.
In the most unexpected ways.
In the most unexpected ways.
I cannot see how that would be possible.
I cannot see how that could be possible.
But I'm only looking at a postage stamp.
And I'm only looking at a postage stamp.
There's so much off my radar.
So much off my radar.
And I'm keeping my sixth chakra open.
And I'm keeping my sixth chakra open.
To watch it unfold.
To watch it unfold.
From far off my radar.
From far off my radar.
From the divine unmanifest.
From the divine unmanifest.
Until it curiously explodes into view.
Until it curiously explodes into view.
Blossoms on my radar.
Blossoms on my radar.
And I'm going to say, wow.
And I'm going to say, wow.
Look at that tiny miracle unfolding.
Look at that tiny miracle unfolding.
It's growing from an acorn into a tree.
It's growing from an acorn into a tree.
Right before my eyes.
Right before my eyes.
I'm open to seeing miracles.
I'm open to seeing miracles.
Unfolding around me.
Unfolding around me.
To feeling safe and divinely held.
To feeling safe and divinely held.
In this world.
In this world.
Beyond this world.
Beyond this world.
By the divine.
By the divine.
The safer I feel.
The safer I feel.
The more I see.
The more I see.
Infinite possibility.
Infinite possibility.
I'm totally open.
I'm totally open.
To this work.
To this work.
Rising up inside me.
Rising up inside me.
Creating change.
Creating change.
All the way up and down my chakras.
All the way up and down my chakras.
As I adapt an attitude.
As I adapt an attitude
of miracles,
of miracles,
of infinite possibility,
of infinite possibility.
And I allow the divine to work through me.
And I allow the divine to work through me.
So I can hold the miracle.
So I can hold the miracle.
For other people.
For other people.
I can carry this energy.
I can carry this energy.
For other people too.
For other people too.
And that would be a miracle.
And that would be a miracle.
Okay, take a nice deep breath. And so a really cool exercise to do with this is to take this recording or some of this tapping and focus it on something really specific in your life, maybe a goal that you have. And so you do the whole round of tapping again with a real specific goal in mind. And so as we go through the tapping of, you know, limitations and all the different things that we did, really think about that goal. And then as we come to this positive round, you're focusing really specifically on this goal and allowing miracles in the context of that goal. It's a really stellar process to do. Okay. Any comments on that? On that round, for anyone who's about half the hour, so anyone who's who's still with me. I got a lot of people still on the line hanging on with me for an hour and a half.
It was great. Sweet, Margaret. I love that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And while people are unmuting to talk, one really great thing I can recommend, this is a really fun, easy thing to do, is to get the song called Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield, B-E-D-I-N-G-F-I-E-L-D, Bedingfield. It's called Unwritten. It's a popular pop song. It was in the top 10 on the radio all the time. Listen to that song, crank it up, and tap while you listen to it. Or dance and tap or something. Because the words to that song, you can actually hear so many different chakras being expressed in that song that it's very, very uplifting. And when you take a song like that and you tap to it, it adds a whole level of energy to it because there's a lot of sixth and seventh chakra in there. There's a lot of fifth chakra in there. So it hits so many chakras, and it's a very, very powerful, energizing song. The song is called Unwritten, and it's Natasha Bedingfield. There's a part where she says, open up the dirty window, which I think of like the sixth chakra. And it's a great song to tap to. It's one of my favorites. When it comes on the radio, I crank it. And I know a lot of you have heard it, so it'll be interesting to go back now and listen to it again, get it off iTunes and tap to it. Any feedback on that last round? Any thoughts, anything that this is triggering for you? The comments that you make are often speaking the truth of people who need to hear it. You'll either speak the truth for someone else on the line or anyone listening to this recording later. Okay.
Hi, Margaret.
Yes. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Margaret. I just wanted to share... From the very beginning, I cried all the way through. And the biggest thing for me was the shift with self-forgiveness.
Nice.
I think that was the most important part because recently a miracle happened in my life where I got to, with a complete stranger, live my life purpose in, you know, if I could reach up into heaven and ask for it to be a certain way, it was everything and more than I would have imagined. And since then, I have been, without being conscious of it, expecting myself to keep manifesting this. And when I haven't, I think that's why I cried, because the longing was so deep and so great within me to live my life purpose, to live in that space where my lower chakras are connected to my upper chakras, and I am connected to the divine, which is me, that's pure joy. And that wasn't happening recently. I just want to thank you for that shift. That was, it was like a blanket of love that I sent to myself. And, I just never realized how important that is, to just meet myself exactly where I am.
Yeah, and I hope you don't mind, Joan, but I want to comment specifically about your comment, because Joan is a person who I know personally who has an unbelievable channel of forgiveness. She came in that way. She has an unbelievable seventh chakra connection to God. It's palpable when you're in her presence. That makes her an unbelievable healer. And so what's so important about her comment is you see that someone can have that unbelievable connection, seventh chakra connection, the ability to forgive at an unbelievable level, yet hold in her sixth chakra certain things that don't allow her to forgive herself. What happens when somebody who's an unbelievable healer does this kind of work and goes to the next level of healing themselves, of forgiving themselves? You know, it's an unbelievable light that you shine. And so I'm very honored to know Joan, and I'm very honored to get those comments and to hear from all of you, which is part of my I'm not going to let you give me my power speech, but I'm honored to be on this class and to allow people to get to new levels of self-forgiveness. So thank you so much for that comment, Joan. It, I know, speaks the truth for a lot of people, that we can be very connected yet find places where we are looking at the world through our sixth chakra and go, that's not as good as I could manifest, right? That's not what I want. Self-forgiveness means seventh chakra opens and we see the divinity in everything that's happening in where we are right now. So wonderful. Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome comment. And so if you want to jump in, you can interrupt me. But I wanted to, if you can stay on the line, it's fine. If you have to go, it's fine. But I'm going to run through a process now that's just going to be a quick visualization process that so we won't really do any tapping, but I want to take something that you want to manifest and show you how it works to bring that all the way up through the chakras. Right? And Mike, you and I have actually done this process. I don't know if we had time to get all the way up through, but it's something that I've been playing around a lot with. And so this whole series really had a lot about the energy of money in it. And so I want to come back to the energy of money because, again, money is an energy. And that might surprise people because we're talking about sixth and seventh chakra, and money is really a first and second chakra energy. But given the clearing that we just did today, I want to show you how to manifest now at the end of all this chakra process going all the way up. Okay, so here's the process. And again, if you know, you can cut me off and jump in. But we'll start through this process. And I'll stay on for a little while at the end for any further comments. Okay, so I want you to think about, we're going to go back to the energy of money. Because each of us has to learn how to manifest through the chakras in a way that is right for us. Not the way that we might have learned from this law of attraction teacher or that law of attraction teacher or some business coach, but it has to work for us, for our profile, for our chakras, for our energy system. So I'm going to take the idea of money and I'm just going to walk it up through the chakras so that you can see and hear and feel, and I'll put several options in there, a way of feeling about money through all your chakras, okay? So first chakra, when we think about money, I'm open to feeling totally safe and supported and loved and held like a family around money. That I'm standing physically, my first chakra, physically, materially connected to money at a way that feels totally safe and secure and loving, totally taken care of. There's almost a loyalty about the way money just shows up to support me, and I viscerally feel it connected to my body, my first chakra, my hands. It's in my life. I'm standing on this foundation, and I'm totally open to allowing money to be that beautiful, safe, supported, connected part of my first chakra. Because as you manifest money, it's actually part of your first chakra. Okay, it's physically in your life. Second chakra. How do we want to feel about money in the second chakra? So second chakra, I'm totally open to sensually feeling the pleasure that money brings in my life. The excitement, the physical things I get to do, the vacations, the leisure time, the way money makes me feel fabulous because it's just fun. I'm open to feeling like I am seducing and charming money into my life because who I am is so valuable and sexy and beautiful that money and me just connect in a way that is just like making love. That's a fun way to feel about money. Third chakra. how do we want to feel about money in the third chakra? Okay. And so third chakra, I'm open to allowing money to be an energy at my third chakra that absolutely matches and reflects how unbelievably unique I am in this world, that absolutely connects with me acting on my desires, the desires that come up from my second chakra, my real true desires, that money is this beautiful energy that exchanges with me as I take action on my deepest desires with my unique, unbelievable, valuable stuff that I bring out into the world. So I am totally open to receiving money for those efforts and looking at that money and going, yeah, that's how amazing, how unique what I do is in the world and how valuable it is. Okay, up to the heart chakra. How do we want to feel about money in the heart? The heart chakra is about love and forgiveness and acts of service. I love that money has freed me of old baggage, and I now allow it to be a miracle in the lives of someone else. I love knowing that some bit of my money that I donate or that I hand to somebody in my life or give them a little job to do, a younger person, that allows me to be generous in a way that feeds my spirituality, that when I give money to someone or I receive the kindness of somebody who wants to buy me lunch as a thank you, that I feel the love in that, that money as an energy can actually carry love in it, that I could send somebody in need money anonymously and absolutely pour love into that $20 bill for someone that's off in college, a young person, a neighbor, somebody who's in need. I love that. I love how money lines up to allow me to make a difference in the world in the big or small way that I can. So all the money that's flowing to me and through me, I'm just going to infuse it with love, as crazy as that might sound. Fifth chakra. Fifth chakra is the manifestation channel. It's where we speak our truth. And so in my fifth chakra, I will now speak the truth and manifest from all of the truths of my lower chakras when it comes to money. That money is an energy that makes me feel a multitude of things that changes in every moment. That money is being manifested to me as the connection of my brilliance, my creativity, my action in the world, my feeling about the world. And I will speak that truth of myself. So in my fifth chakra, I'm going to speak the truth about who I am and create in this world and absolutely love that as I manifest that, there is always the energy of money manifesting back to me. That money is a continually exchanging manifestation energy. I manifest out, money manifests in, and it manifests right back out again. I love that feeling of manifestation. Sixth chakra. How do I want to feel about money at the sixth chakra? At the sixth chakra, seeing unlimited opportunities for money to appear. Unlimited ways that as I look down from 20,000 feet and see myself in my unique value, my unique abilities, my unique self, my life purpose, and I see how valuable that is in the world. I look down on that whole picture and I see infinite number of ways that money is miraculously unfolding to support every single thing in my life and my life purpose. Every bit of the lower chakras in my life purpose is being supported by the infinite number of ways money can manifest for me. Seventh chakra. How do I want to feel about money in my seventh chakra? This is an interesting one. Again, it's living and feeling and knowing it's infinitely possible that as I let go of any kind of fear and uncertainty, Eckhart Tolle teaches that as soon as you can be around uncertainty without fear, you have access to infinite possibility. So as I let go of fear about money, and we reprogrammed our first chakra with feeling safe and secure and lovingly held, all the way up to my seventh chakra, I see infinite possibility in every single moment, that there is a divinity always unfolding, even in money, that money is an energy that has the divine in it. Just like all of us have a lower self and a higher self, yet the divine is in us. That I can allow money to be a divine energy in my life. That all of my chakras are good. And that in that divinity, I can enjoy the energy of money from first chakra all the way up to seventh chakra. And I can recognize that money is lining up for me miraculously to support not only my lower self and my physical needs in this world, but my highest spiritual aspirations. So at seventh chakra, how do I want to feel about money? That it is an energy that supports not only my lower chakra needs, but my highest spiritual aspirations. So we just took money and moved it all the way up through the chakras. And much like the tapping we did at the end, we make a positive statement at each one that actually goes against some of the negative vows. So it's a positive opening. But it's a process that will really allow you to start changing, at least becoming conscious of how you feel at each level. Because when it comes all the way up like that, it can come all the way back down. That means the energy of money can come from seventh chakra, which is infinite possibility, all the way down into your body, all the way to your first chakra, where it becomes manifest. Cool process, huh? Any comments about that before we wrap up? And I appreciate all the people who've been able to stay on this long for this wonderful recording. Any comments on that process? I know it almost seems strange because of our programming about money to take money and bring it all the way up like that.
Margaret?
Yes.
That was unbelievably fabulous.
Thank you.
Just knocked my socks off. I mean, it just tied it all together. And I recorded that. So I can just write that out and just use it and use it and use it. It was fabulous. Thank you.
Wonderful. And notice that depending on your personality type or your profile and your chakra dominance, there's going to be a few of these that are your main, that are the real one for you. So if you're, for instance, an emotional intelligence specialist, a real second chakra person, then the most dominant one for you is going to be really around feeling the sexy, seducing, charming money energy. if you're a real charismatic leader, then it's going to be something about that fifth chakra manifesting channel, that excitement about manifesting and how money connects. And so you want to see where it, which one of all of those sometimes will be the funnest one for you to operate in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because some of them will be, you know, more exciting than others, and that's okay. We definitely want to have the energy at all of them, but some of them will be sort of your main operating, that if you were going to think of one thing today, it would be this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
Wonderful. Any more comments before we end the class?
Margaret, this is Jean. I just want to say it was super, super, super fabulous.
Oh, nice.
It was just awesome, awesome, awesome. I loved it.
Okay, thank you. You guys make it fun for me. You really do. So Infinite Possibility brings me all of you people who are willing to work in this very unique way and be open to it. And so that's the miracle for me, that all of you guys show up and you get it and you're fearless, and it's really cool. So you guys are always my evidence of infinite possibility. So wonderful. It's been absolutely fun for me. I don't know how I was going to teach it all in an hour and 15 minutes, and I was correct. It took much longer than that. Thank you all for your amazing feedback. There will be a recording available just to you guys, because this is going to be part of a product that I'm going to be putting together for sale. It's not a free class for everybody, but it is for you guys. So I'll be sending everybody that link. And I also wanted to do something nice, because I've been so in awe of how hard the Wild Summer Spirit people have worked. So this is your cherry for the top of the ice cream for all the hard work you did. All right, I'm going to unmute everybody so everyone can say goodbye. Okay. It is going to be loud. Hey, bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Wonderful.
Love you, everybody.